All right, so we'll begin with chapter 63, the announcing of a new victory. What we're going to do is we're going to start out having somebody read verses 1 through 6, and then I want to give out some other verses that go along with these first six verses, and we'll see how far we get tonight, and if we can go further, we will. If not, we will stop there. So first of all, I need someone to volunteer to read the first six verses. Who will do that? All right, Scott. And then I need someone to, it's kind of a long passage, but I think we should do it. Revelation 19, 11 through 21. Who will do that? Revelation 19, 11 through, and we'll be looking at Revelation 19 a little bit. Revelation 19, 11 through 21. Volunteer? Well, thank you. Billy Joe's going to read those. And then I need somebody to take Joel 3:13, just one verse. Joel. All right, Rhonda. And then Revelation. Why don't you go ahead and do that? That's only one verse. So that'll be, you can mark your place there, Joel 3:13. Not the easiest book to find. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. So if you're in that area, you're in the right place. Joel 3:13. And then Revelation 14, 17 through 20. Revelation 14, 17 through 20. The first one was Joel 3:13. And then I'll look back at Isaiah 61:2 since we're here. Luke 4:19. Luke 4:19. Miss Betty? And then Miss Betty, if you would take Jeremiah 25:15 and 16. Luke 4:19. Jeremiah 25:15. And 16, and that's where we will
stop. Do I have something in Revelation as well?
Yes. Revelation 14, 17 through 20. Revelation 14, 17 to 20. All right. Scott, go ahead and read the first six verses.
This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeeming is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in mine fear, in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth.
All right. Thank you, Scott. All right. The announcing of a new victory. In the first six verses, Isaiah sees into the future as Christ returns from the Battle of Armageddon. And that is the passage in Revelation 19, 11 through 21. And I forgot who I gave that to. Was that you? It seemed like yours was one of the later ones. It went pretty fast. All right. Go ahead. Revelation 19, 11 through 21.
Faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh.
That pretty much says it. I mean, that's what Isaiah is referring to, and John, of course, centuries later, and of course, this is still yet future, and I still shudder every time I see verse 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Still nervous about that. I guess we'll all be able to ride once we get up there. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the Lord would never have us do something that he wouldn't enable us to do. Correct?
I want to see her on the horse.
I keep telling the Lord's going to give him strength to do it.
Oh, absolutely. It won't be a problem. It will not be a problem. Like I said, I've only ridden twice, and most of the time the horse was going up, I was going down, and vice versa, and so it might beat me to death. Very hard on the back. I couldn't do it now. My back would snap in half probably. But anyway, but I'm not going to go through all these because obviously that would take much time. We've been through Revelation. We'll come back, and I'm going to start picking out chunks of Revelation rather than do a study through the whole book. We can't, if we go through a book, it doesn't mean that we can never look at it again. I mean, obviously we don't remember, we forget stuff. But if you do want to get into a study, there's still, I don't know how many, because I used to have a lot of trouble before I got this thing, which I still forget to turn on sometime, but I've been doing a lot better. I was in the back, I had the laptop back there trying to record, and sometimes it didn't work well. But there are a lot of messages on Revelation at newvisionbaptistchurch.org if you're interested in that. All right, so go back to Isaiah, and let's look at a couple of the beginning verses. Who is this that cometh from Edom? Now, Edom here represents a world that hates God. All the way back in the 34th chapter, I didn't give that to anybody, did I? Okay. 34:5. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, which is Edom, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. And then Bozrah was once a principal city or a capital city in Edom. Verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness and with the blood of lambs and goats and the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And that, again, is Edom. Going back to chapter 63, that this is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. So verse 1 basically is a picture of the last and most bitter foes of God. the last and most bitter foes of God. When we think of the most bitter foe of God and the last bitter foe of God, you can't help but to think of Antichrist. If we are in the last days of the last days, Antichrist is no doubt alive right now. He's been born. And we don't know. He might be a teenager. Maybe he's in his 20s, 30s. I don't know. But it's very possible that he is alive. And remember the passage that Billy Joe read that said that the beast, who is Antichrist, and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire alive. You remember that? Well, if you go further and you go 1,000 years later, when Satan of course, Satan will be bound during the whole millennium. Okay, he's in the pit. He's bound with chains. He can't come up and cause havoc during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But then he's loose for a little season. Remember that? And he goes around, of course, causing havoc. Ultimately, he is cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. So to those that think one who dies and goes in the lake of fire, because remember, death and hell will be cast in the lake of fire, so ultimately eternal torment is the lake of fire, and they think you go there and you burn up. Scripture does not support that. Matthew 25:46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Could any verse be any clearer than a verse that says, and these, that's the Christ rejectors, shall go away into everlasting punishment? How long does everlasting last? Yeah. But the righteous, the saved, the born again, the redeemed, these shall go into everlasting righteousness. How long is everlasting righteousness? Forever. So if one is forever, the other has to be forever. So if there's forever heaven, then there is, for those that reject Christ, a forever hell. Yes, sir?
The false prophet and the beast are actually still in the human body. When they're cast into the lake of fire after the judgment, are they given the eternal body as well? Because that would explain why they're not consumed.
Yeah, they have to. Yeah. It's kind of like when Elijah, took a ride and kept on going, and Enoch walked with God and continued walking, and he ended up walking up to heaven. Obviously, sinful flesh cannot survive in the presence of a holy God. So they had to be changed on the way up. And that's why, those that say, well, when the two witnesses, we read about when the two witnesses are going to be Elijah, Enoch and Elijah. Some say one of them is going to be Moses because we haven't found his body. No, because I don't think so, because their bodies have already been changed. That's just my opinion. I mean, there are many much more scholarly than me that disagree with that. It doesn't matter who the two witnesses are anyway. You know what I mean? We don't know, but there will be two witnesses. And they will, of course, be killed preaching the word during the tribulation period, and they will lie. The lost world will celebrate. Because, we can see back a century ago, would have thought it was ridiculous that the whole world could be watching this scene at the same time. Not so crazy now, is it? Because the satellites, doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can see live shots. And so the world will be celebrating the death of these two witnesses that were so annoying, preaching Christ and salvation. Okay. Who is that that cometh from Edom? And Edom, by the way, means red. That was a nickname of Esau, by the way, red. And Bozra means grape gathering. Isn't that interesting? Grape gathering. So you got red and you got grape gathering. And, of course, the crushing of the grapes the splattering of the red juice, of course, is a picture of the blood that will be shed and the blood that will be splattered and the blood that will be on the vesture, on the robes, even as is described here and in Revelation that was just read. And of course, Christ's robe vesture was dipped in blood, his own sacrificial blood. But we read about the blood being up to the bridle of horses. I don't think it's going to be a river of blood that deep, but it's going to splatter. I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of blood. It's going to be running. Multitudes will be killed, and blood will be splashing up on the sides of the horses. We know that Jesus came to earth the first time to begin what's called the acceptable year of the Lord. And by the way, I passed up, after all that work to get those verses into the mind of Rhonda, I skipped right over them. How about Joel 3:13? This is talking about the image of the wine press, okay? The image of the wine press.
Surrender your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm.
Okay, going along with that, keep that verse in your mind. I know most of you have it memorized anyway, but in case you don't, Revelation 14, 17 through 20.
Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also had his own sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar. He had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in your sharp sickle of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and the blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs.
All right, so that's between 180 and 200 miles. That's the Battle of Armageddon being described, and of course this is the Valley of Himnom or Megiddo. The blood came out of the wine press, and by the way, trodden without the city or outside the city, that's Jerusalem. Blood came out of the wine press, even under the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. And this great slaughter is what's described in Isaiah 63 as well, the passage that we are in. It's also in chapter 19, which was just read, verses 11 through 21. Isaiah saw this vision 700 years before the birth, approximately 700 years before the birth of Christ. No doubt he had no idea the significance of what he was writing. Prophets wrote a lot of stuff they didn't understand. Peter brought that out. You know, the prophets inquired about a lot of stuff. They didn't get all the answers. And we know a lot more than they knew, but we still don't know much, do we? But we do know more. We got the completed word of God. So now that we went back and picked up what I forgot, let me say again, Jesus came to earth the first time to begin the acceptable year of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. And so at the first coming, the acceptable year of the Lord. At his second coming, it will be the climax of the day of vengeance of our God, which is also in verse number 2 of Isaiah 61. First part, first coming. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Second coming and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. And that is talking about mainly the people of Israel. There will be others, of course, but mainly his people Israel. The enemy is going to be crushed like grapes and forced to drink their own blood from the cup of God's wrath. Who did I give? I said I would read 51:7, right? Did I give somebody Jeremiah 25?
Yes.
Was that you? Oh, that's sweet. Did I give you 51:7, or did I say I would read that? Just gave you Jeremiah 25? Is that all I gave you? Okay. Would you read?
You gave me Luke.
Oh, Luke 4:19.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and read Luke 4:19. That talks about the acceptable year of the Lord. That's it?
That's it.
Wow. Pretty accurate, though, wasn't it? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then Jeremiah 25:15-16.
For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this purity in my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I sent thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them.
All right. We could read further, but we're not going to. And then, thank you much. Chapter 51, verse number 7, here in Isaiah. 51 and verse number 7. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Why? Because they're going to be crushed, just like grapes. A lot of wine presses basically were a hewn out stone, large, of course, very large. And then there would be holes where the grape juice would run out and containers could, or jugs could be filled. But the part of having to drink their own blood from the cup of God's wrath, that's also found in Revelation as well. Let me go a little bit further. I've got notes in the notepad, and then I have notes written in my Bible. And so it doesn't take much to confuse me. So please be patient with me as I go back and forth and try to pick it all up, okay? All right, so looking at I don't think I read the last of the note in verse 1. Messiah coming to Jerusalem, avenging his and their enemies, taken from the imagery of Edom's destruction. Because remember, picture of the last, most bitter of God's enemies is a picture of Edom. Verse 2, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel? Literally, why is your apparel red? The questions ask, in thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine fat. And of course, speaking of the judgment of Israel's enemies. And who do you think is being spoken of here in verse number 2? Right, the Lord himself. I have trodden the winepress alone, the blood from those destroyed in judgment. Revelation 19, 1 through 3, and verses 13 and 15. I guess since we've been reading all these, we should continue that. Did I give that to anybody? Somebody want to read those? Revelation 19. Anybody there? Leonard, you there? You want to read, tell you what? Go ahead and read verses 1 through 3, and then 13 and 15. 1 through 3, 13 and 15. Go ahead.
After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Aloha, salvation, the glory and honor and power being to the Lord, our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they say, Hallelujah, Her smoke rises up forever and ever.
All right, then 13 and 15, which these are read already, but read them again.
He was clothed with the robe, dipped in blood, and his name is called the World of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now cut of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the firstners and wrath of Almighty God.
All right. Thank you, Leonard. In verse 13, that vesture dipped in blood, I mentioned that it refers to his own shed blood, but it also refers back to Isaiah 63 and the blood of his enemies. Okay? Because the context, of course, here, he's talking about a great battle. We like to talk about the vesture dipped in blood. Earlier in the book, John talked about his actual shed blood, but here it's more specifically talking about the blood of his enemies, which will be defeated, of course. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. All right, back to Isaiah 63. I have trodden, this is Christ speaking, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. The blood from those destroyed in judgment, who else could righteously judge, or can, because this is future yet, hadn't happened yet, who will be able to righteously judge the lost world but Christ? So, he is saying, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment, or all my robes. The second coming of Christ, the warrior king. Now we worship the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, but he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the warrior king, and victory is his. All those Christ rejectors, their day is coming. All of those that want the mention of God out of everything, having a public life and a, you know, this religion stuff, they would love to stamp it all out. Because there is no Marxist that loves God. Did you know that? There's no Marxist that loves God. Because they love man. They're atheists. They're humanists. It's all about man. We are our own chief end. We can become better on our own. What do we need God for? That's the mentality of the Marxists, and that's what a lot of the far left, radical, freako, out of their minds, people, politicians. That's what they are. They're Marxists, and now they're beginning to admit it. They used to be very careful. Now they don't care. They don't care. Because they are the hierarchy and we are the deplorables, the gun-toting, Bible-toting, probably even eat meat. I mean, really, how much more vile can we... Oh, to just for a second lighten things up just a little bit. The hypocrisy, of course, is beyond measure. But did you hear that California has, by, I forget the year, 2025? No more gas-powered cars can be sold? 35? Okay. And now today, okay, here we are. This is 2022. And, of course, all the far-left radical freakos want all electric cars. And it's not really to save the planet. It's because they will have power over us. Because right now, what can we do? We jump in our car, right? And we go to the service station. We fill it up, right? We can go anywhere we want. But in California right now, they're saying, keep your thermostat on 78. We're going to have blackouts, running out of power here. All the windmills are pooping out or something. I don't know. The batteries are dying. I don't know what the problem is. But guess what they said? Do not charge your electric cars during so-and-so and so-and-so time. Because if they tell you you can't and they cut the power and you can't charge your electric car, where can you go? So who's in charge? We are going closer and closer to hierarchy. And basically what they're telling, they're getting so brazen now, you keep your mouth shut, you're a peon. This is a top-down government. This is not we the people anymore. This is top-down. Get a vaccination, wear a mask, stay home. All this, I'm telling you, it's coming. November's going to tell a lot. 2024 is going to tell a lot. I'm not kidding you. This is serious stuff. We are losing our freedom. All right, back to the Bible. Used to be a radio program, Back to the Bible. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart. Messiah's day of reckoning with the wicked is coming. And the year of my redeemed is come. So it will conclude with Israel's redemption. Again, chapter 61, verse number 2. And I looked, and there was none to help. Because the only one that can save Israel is the only one that can save any sinner, and that's Christ. He alone. There is no politician who can save anybody. There's no preacher who can save anybody. It's Christ and Christ alone. He shed blood upon that cross. But Messiah will have a day of reckoning with the wicked. And maybe you want to venture a guess who's going to win that battle. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury, it upheld me or sustained me. So again, only the Lord will save Israel in the future. You can refer back to verse number 3. I have trod the winepress alone of the people. There was none with me. And then also chapter 59. Verses 15 and 16, yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment or no justice. Remember, we talked about the fact those who stood for right were ultimately outcasts. It's exactly what we're facing in our nation. You stand for what's right, you're the outcast. You're the bad guy. You're the one that's a racist and a homophobe and a transphobe, which I'm guilty of all three, not the racist part, but the other two. I'm not a racist. The ones that claim that always are telling everybody else they're racist, those are the racist. That's the truth of it. I mean, somebody tells me I'm white, so therefore, because I'm white, I'm a racist. I think that makes them a racist. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. So there was no one to deliver, and so God would deliver through his suffering servant, which is Christ the Messiah. And then lastly, verse 6, I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury. Not drunk with wine, of course, but drunk with the judgment of Almighty God. And I will bring down their strength to the earth, and blood will be spilt. God's wrath will be poured out. I will tread down the people. Literally, I have trodden down the people in mine anger. And I will bring down, literally, I have brought down their strength to the earth. It's a done deal. We saw some scripture in Revelation 14. Let's see which ones we looked at. Revelation 14. Must be in my Bible notes. What was it? 17 to 20. Just write these down. We're not going to go back to Revelation, but some of these we looked at, some we didn't. Revelation 14, 10. This goes along with verse 6, by the way. Revelation 14, 10, and also verse 19. And then Revelation 16, 19. And Revelation 19, 15. In chapter 51, I don't think we read these. If I did, I apologize in advance. Verse 17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. I'm about the wrath of God on Israel. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. And by the way, one day during the tribulation, Babylon, spiritual Babylon, will drink from this cup forever. And then, let's see. Verses 21 through 23, same chapter. Chapter 51. Therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Instead, drunk from the cup of God's wrath. Thus saith the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. So Israel one day will have the cup removed, unlike Babylon and the other nation oppressors. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. So remember, judgment is coming. God will vindicate his people, won't he? And of course, our Lord will be high and lifted up. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's just a matter of time. We just got to keep the nose to the grindstone, remain faithful, keep praying, keep studying, keep witnessing, keep believing. Don't forget what the Bible says, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. And it's nearer now than ever. All the pieces are falling into place. Question is, are we ready to go? And how many family members do we have that we've been afraid to witness to? They might get mad at me. They won't be my friend. Well, you know what? If they die and go to hell, that's going to be quite an unpleasant thing. I would rather have my family mad at me now and even not speak to me if that so happened, than for me to know that I didn't say anything because I was afraid they might not like me. Right? Be loving, speak the truth in love, but speak the truth boldly. Because the fear of man brings a snare. But if we trust the Lord, we are safe, the Bible says. Okay? Questions or comments? I appreciate you coming out tonight. You could have stayed home, beautiful day. You could have sat on the porch, propped your feet up, pet the cat, whatever. Sipped iced tea, but you came to church. I appreciate it. I know, more importantly, the Lord's pleased. Let's stand together, have a word of prayer. You can announce 6 minutes early. Rhonda, you'll have to dock my check 6 minutes. Bill, would you pray, please?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We can come study and hear your word together, Lord. Be aware of the things that were written so many years ago are now coming to pass before our very eyes. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and for your love for us. And Lord, just help us to be faithful in our witnessing and love for you as we proclaim your word to others. And at least give them a warning, Lord, that they need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Give us the strength we need, the boldness we need, the courage we need to do that, that we might honor and glorify your name. For we ask and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Be safe.